You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Thanks for joining us. This is the show on Civic Media where we do what we say. We lean local. We're going to talk about the local, what's going on here locally in Greater Green Bay. And that's, look, we've been following the Pope and we've been following all these other things that are going on throughout the world. And I know the governor's budget is moving along, so we're kind of tracking that a little bit. But this show here, we're just going to talk about the local opportunities we have and some of the things that are going on here on a more local issue. And who knows better than that? Well, there's a few people that are really plugged into this city, and we have the mayor coming on in a couple of weeks, some other people locally, but Brian Johnson is our in-house guest today. And Brian Johnson, who's been on here before, I think if many of you know him, he's very visible in the community, is both the director of On Broadway, which is a very important part of our city, right? It's the Broadway district. You hear about that a lot. We're going to get into that in just a second. And he's also president of the city council. And we have 12-member city council, and while he works well with everyone, including the mayor and the staff, he's also got, you know, some of his own ideas. So we're going to get to all that today, and I really want to talk about Greater Green Bay. You know, I'm one of those people that have said many times, you know, we've got 24 municipalities in the county, and, you know, if Green Bay sneezes, everyone gets a cold. We really are the leader in what we do here when it comes to homelessness, fentanyl, development. I think people look to Green Bay, as they should, and I think we're good about sharing our information and the best ideas. So that's what we're doing today, and Alderman Johnson, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Yeah. I always like coming down here. You're in our district, my district, yeah. Right? So you're I appreciate guy. That, but it's so good to have an organization like yours here in downtown, and you know, being able to speak about a lot of the things that we're doing here in the city that are really, really positive and trying to obviously create more traction here.
And we are, and I think we're working toward that. Before we get into what's new, let's just talk about something that just ended up here, and that was the NFL draft. We've had many people come on and talk about it. You know, Packers have been on here. Obviously, the Chief was on, and some small businesses. And I think the anticipation was very, very high.
I mean, certainly. And anybody that's ever hosted it has had the same expectations for what it's going to do for their community. And sometimes you hit those expectations, sometimes you don't. And I think you have that same conversation here locally.
Right. The draft is completed. And I'd like you, and this is what I ask the guests that come on here, on a grading scale, A, B, C, D, E, F, where do you think we landed up from your perspective? I know you read the stuff. The Chief obviously said it was an A because 600,000 people won arrest. I mean, that's A. I think the Packers, or the NFL, I didn't really talk to the Packers yet. The NFL viewed it as an A. 14 million viewers, I think that was higher than it was the last couple of years. I mean, that's pretty awesome. President of the council, Broadway, resident, how do you, and then we're going to talk about why.
Yeah, and I think there's I'm going to give you a wishy-washy answer, but I'll give you a letter. And to me, it's long-term impact, short-term impact. And then I think you've already hit on the head, right? Police are going to have a different lens than the Packers, than the NFL. So I'll go with an old college grade, AB. And the reason I say that is because I think when you look at long-term impact.
Right? I don't know where you went to college. We didn't have those.
No, that's very common now. But, okay. You know, when you look at long-term, right, the putting Green Bay in a world stage, that's a very expensive commercial. In Green Bay being able to execute at a high level from the NFL's perspective gets talked about. And the hope is that translates into other conventions and large-scale events that want to come to Green Bay, whether it's to the KI Convention Center or some of our other venues and facilities, and you want to see that trickle down. The reason I lean more towards the B is I also am a local economic impact guy. And I know a lot of our businesses didn't see the same level of impact that they would have liked. And, you know, we talked to other downtown districts before it happened. We talked to other mayors in prior host cities, and they all said the same thing. If you're not really intentional about the way you bring people into your downtown, it's not going to happen organically. And so we did some things that tried to do that, right? But it doesn't happen on its own. And it would be nice if, we could partner more strongly with the NFL to find ways to really bring some of that economic activity all throughout our community.
You're going to get a phone call. I mean, Greg Flisham, who we both know, he used to work for the city of Green Bay and was our director of economic development and really one of my favorite employees, is in Pittsburgh now.
Yeah, I met him there, actually. Oh. So I already have a meeting set up with their downtown director in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure I'll talk with Greg at some point, too. Right. But they were here, right? They want to know what worked, what didn't.
And I think we got to be really honest with them. Well, it was great. Yeah. It was awesome. It was the best thing we ever had here. Sure. I'm going to tell you my perspective, and then I want to hear your reaction to it. It was the world stage. The mayor used that term. I think the Packers used that term. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sure know I used that term for 3 days. 14 million viewers. That's a lot of viewers. And I thought, and I was there. I didn't watch it on TV. I watched a little bit of it on TV on Saturday, but I mean on Friday. But I was there on Thursday and Saturday. It appeared to me that when it was on TV, and I heard this from other people too, that I asked a lady who watched it, you know, end to end. I said, "What'd you get out of it, watching on TV?" She goes, "Oh, you know what I really got out of it? The Packer fans love the Packers. That's not breaking news." And that the Packer organization loves the fans. And I said, and she goes, "So I had a really good feeling watching that draft. I just felt really good about Green Bay." Okay. But I was hoping, and look, I didn't talk to anybody. Nobody asked me. But I was hoping we would talk a little bit more about Green Bay. You know, I wish Dr. Hunsinger, who obviously is the president of the medical college, I wish he would have introduced somebody and said, "Look, I'm going to introduce Mark Murphy. I'm the president of the medical college." Out of those 14 million people, I bet you 13 million would have said, "Wow, I didn't know they had a medical college in Green Bay." And I wish we would have leaned a little bit more into our water, just the fishing, the boating, and get somebody on from the DNR just to talk about, you know, I've been all over the country and this is one of the best. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was a little bit of a lost opportunity, but maybe had anybody talked to you about the stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of those things I'll certainly bring up in our debrief that we've got coming up here in the near future, because we have to talk about those missed opportunities. And I think that's one of them. We have a lot of great assets to sell here in Green Bay that make it an attractive place to invest, to grow your business, to relocate to. And I agree.
Not once did I hear that we were chosen by U.S. News and World Report as the best place to live in America. Yeah. If it was on, I didn't see it. You know, I was there. I didn't watch the commercials.
I said it in every press conference I was in, by the way.
Well, you did. I did not see you. I didn't see 14 million eyeballs on that, though. That's the problem.
It is.
All right. Well, as long as that gets out, or when we talk about how great it was, let's remind people how great the city is, or the community is too.
Well, have to, right? It's and I joke, right? How long can we continue to say we're the number one best place to live? People do it all the time, 10 years after the fact. And I'll keep doing that because we continue to be ranked very highly, and it's for a good reason.
Right.
And we have to keep telling that story. You have to beat that drum. Otherwise people forget.
Right. And I think the other thing that we may have overlooked, I don't think you ever want to sell on price, but investment opportunities are still look really good here. You know, in terms of real estate, we still have a lot of undeveloped land here.
I mean,
we have a lot
real estate. You have an incredible workforce,
right?
Right. If you're a business looking for highly trained, highly competent people, our universities provide a world class education.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of really good things.
And I think NWTC is just, you know, one of the best technical schools in the United States. And I'm partial because I teach there. But I was just hoping for more of that. But I guess maybe I assume things, and you know, that's never a good thing to do. But I just thought we would have got a little bit more mileage out of that. I'm no doubt the fans love the Packers and the Packers love the fans. I mean,
we're a football town at its core. And I got a good chuckle out of the Detroit Free Press, right, who put something out that, Packer fans miss it again. We had 275,000 people the first day. They had 205,000. But they forget their, you know, 4.4 million people in their metro area.
Yeah.
So we outperformed them easily when you compare head to head. But we have a lot to be proud of in terms of what we accomplished as a community.
We do. And let me just tell you some other things that I'm hearing. And are you on the stadium board?
I'm not. No.
Okay. But you appoint somebody to that, right?
The mayor makes the appointment. Oh. We and council approves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the stadium board is a board that's appointed some by the county executive, some by the mayor, and some by the village of Ashwaubenon. People, now that we pulled off the draft, which... There was an article about that. There were naysayers out there. I got to be honest with you. I never ran into a naysayer. But anyway, there were naysayers.
You don't spend enough time on social media, apparently.
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. I'm not even on
Buffet. Well, that's where you get a lot of the naysayers. I mean, pick your topic.
That's exactly why I don't. Anyway, but now that we pulled this off successfully, and whether you give it an A or B, or an AB, why aren't we doing, nothing should scare us. I mean, Bruce Springsteen, the Stones. You look at what Summerfest brings in. You look at what the Harley is doing now. And now Camp Randall, and that's really getting a lot of press lately. They're bringing concerts back. Don't you think we could do that if we did this?
We can. We should. We have the second largest stadium in the NFL. The only one that's larger is New York, which is shared by the Jets and the Giants. You know, when we fill it out every single week during football season, we know we can do that. We've done other concerts here, right? You think of Paul McCartney, Billy Joel, a couple that I've been to. They were wonderful experiences. We can absolutely do them. We brought the soccer game in. They've had a hockey game in there. There's a lot of different things you can do within the bowl in addition to some of the other activities that have happened outside of it. But we have to do it. It's been 4 years.
And you can't do it every 4 years. Summerfest is 9 days in a row. I don't know how many Camp Randall's got, but somebody's, look, I'm not as plugged in as like Pete Schwab on music, but people are like, can you believe so-and-so's going there? And I'm like, I don't know who they are, but yeah, I can believe it now. I just think they've really put together this lineup. I got to believe, and I don't know this, but I would think people would want to brag about playing at Lambeau Field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, make it that good of a place, like Madison Square Garden or something. Like, I played at Lambeau Field. That would be cool.
Yeah.
And if we could get to that, but you can't do it if you do it once every 4 years. I mean, that's not cool. But if you do it 3 times a year.
Yeah, and it's been four years since they've really hosted an event, right? So not just a concert, but whether you're talking about even the Wisconsin games that come up here from time to time. And you know, the tax that's generated off of some of those sales is what helps fund the stadium board,
And
which in turn gives away grants to other tourism-related projects in our community. So we really do want to see more activity happening there.
Right. I'm going to ask at the end of this interview, kind of your vision, but I just hope that's a high priority, not just something we should do. Because to get stuff done, as you know better than anybody, it's got to be you got to work on it every week.
You do.
You mention it at a press conference, it's like, oh, that's great. And then all of a sudden a year goes by. So and people are asking for that, Alderman, and I just want to pass that on to you. And I told them I would, and I just did. Hey, we're going to go to a quick break. A couple things I want to get done, though, today. I want to talk about Broadway. You're the president on Broadway. I want to talk about the public market, some of the things you have going on, some of the housing. And then I really want to get into some issues in the city since you're the president of the council. Okay,
so. Right on.
All right, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special in-house guest, Alderman Brian Johnson.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To Lean Local, Civic Media Radio with Jim Schmidt and our in-house guest, Alderman Brian Johnson. And Alderman Brian Johnson, a friend of mine and a friend of many of yours, he keeps getting reelected, wears two hats in the community. Actually, I used to say three because you got kids, but we'll just leave that out for now. But that's probably the most important
hat. Number one.
There's no doubt. But president of the On-Broadway District, and you hear about that a lot, and we read about it, and wow, there's a lot going on there. And I work at the New Community Shelter, which is right off of Broadway, so I see what's going on there. There's an investment made every year. I mean, I think Paul Jaden started investing in Broadway. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think Sam even did something there, and I did, and now, of course, Eric is doing that. Let me just ask you the vision, which there's a pretty good plan for On-Broadway and fruition. How are things going?
Yeah, things are going well. We... You know, I think obviously, like any downtown, you want a lot of vibrancy and activity, and you need good, strong businesses to be able to do that. You need good spaces. I oftentimes quip that parking lots, you know, aren't really attractive when it comes to that type of activity. So you want to put buildings on them. You want to have parking solutions, of course, but it's really the amenities that bring people out. So our goal really as a district is to make sure that we're supporting the ones that we have. And then how do you continue to push future development, especially infill development where parking lots exist right now?
But people got to park. Like, what's your solution for that?
Well, parking structures, right? So you have a combination of on-street surface lots. The city does parking studies to determine what sort of that demand is and how do you provide that supply in the most economic way possible. We've got a number of parking structures, as you know, in the city on the east side here, but they're large and they're expensive. Not every ramp has to be 1,800 cars. And what you're seeing in more communities are really the 200 and 300 stall types of ramps that are built on demand when you have a development that comes in and creates that.
So there's just need. Two stories.
Yeah, right. I mean, sometimes they can go underground, and then you wrap them, right? So that the street front activation is still there with storefronts, much like the Cherry Street ramp was designed.
And you can also put facades around that parking where it looks not good. Like a building, but it looks, there's some really cool parking lots that don't look like a parking lot until you get in there. So, all right, so that's the plan.
Yeah, I mean, none of these are quick wins, right? But our program, actually, we haven't even gone public with this yet, so you're the first to hear. But we were just accepted into a national program, or one of six Main Street programs in the country that were accepted into this pilot program to really figure out how you get local capital sort of off the sidelines. You don't always rely exclusively on banks and grants and really put that social capital to work in a way that can help some of these projects get underway. So we're going to be the guinea pig.
What does that mean? Like, is that like a GoFundMe municipality?
Yeah, a little more complex than that, right? But you think of it like oftentimes it's referred to as a community development corporation, companies will invest in that instead of some big fund somewhere else. And really, it provides the equity that you need to get projects moving.
And they can get a return on that investment too, right?
They can,
I think that's important. Yep. That's a lot of money. I mean, even these small parking lots you're talking about are millions of dollars.
Right. I mean, the reality is, you have two types of developers. You have house flippers on one end, and the other end are folks that know how to build 200-unit apartments. You need the people that can do the in-between, and that's what's missing right now.
So you talk about the amenities and some of the infrastructure. There are two things I want to talk about. Housing. And Green Bay lacks enough housing. I mean, every study will show you that.
Yep.
You've built – how many housing units have been built on Broadway? I know there's a couple new buildings there. There could be what?
Probably 400.
Right.
And we've got another – at least 500 to 600 under plan right now, either under development agreement or being planned right now. So it's a significant amount, right? And it'll happen over time. Very coincidentally, I just submitted a communication on Tuesday to update our housing study because a lot of units have come in, not just in Green Bay, but elsewhere. And we have to make sure that we're building the right product and not just any product.
And I think that's really important. And that's been talked about, or we're not building the easy project. Because easy, sometimes there's some HUD funding. It's like, oh, we go low income. We can take a little of the risk out of the project. Well, let's wait it out and build some market rate, if that's what's needed. I think that's what you're saying.
Look, every housing boom cycle, it has a tendency to overbuild. They keep building because they think there's demand, and then you hit a saturation point, and then you're overbuilt. And so, but it's not just about apartments, right? I mean, single-family homes is something that's really high demand right now. And so we have to make sure we're accounting for all types of housing, including that middle missing housing market.
All right, so on Broadway, I'm going to put a fine point on that. Something that got a tremendous amount of press and ink was the public market.
Mm-hmm.
And some businesses moved out of the public market.
Yeah, I mean, we relocated everyone that was in there.
Right.
We kept a number of them in the Broadway district, which was our goal. It's an incredibly hard project, and unlike many other projects today, you go to hard bid and numbers come back significantly higher than what you were anticipating. So we're working right now to close that gap. We have a couple of things that are pretty imminent here in the next few weeks that I think are going to come together, and we'll be able to hopefully get some shovels in the ground here shortly after that.
Because initially you want to be open by the draft.
Yeah, I mean, when we first went public.
Look, I'm not going to dwell on it, but I'm just saying it's obviously delayed.
Yep.
The numbers came in higher than you thought. So you have two choices. One is you can engineer it and get it back to where you wanted it, but that you're going to have to give up some things to do that. I'm sure you've looked at that. The other is to raise the money, but that's not easy. I mean, I I'm just wrapping up a fundraiser. Do you think the capital's out there from the private sector? Are you looking to the government entity?
We're looking for a combination of things, and it's important to recognize that this is an income-generating project. So even though we're a nonprofit organization, it's not like a lot of your other basic needs developments where they have to raise all the money. So we can take on some debt here, which we're intending to do to cover that gap. But even then, borrowing millions of dollars doesn't come easily, right? There's pretty strong underwriting process. You have to demonstrate an ability to repay, and all the numbers are looking really good. We just have to go through the steps and put a few more pieces of the puzzle in place, and I think we'll be ready to go.
All right, I was going through the governor's budget, and I saw a line in there for the public market.
Yeah.
Is that looking good? Is there anything our listeners can do to help that, or is that just on its own?
Sure. Our conversations have been really productive. You know, the governor's office, very supportive. We're talking with a number of our Republican legislators right now as we go through the budget process who have been supportive because it's economic development.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have over $100 million of new development that's ready to go, where they said if the public market goes in, we're building. We want to go. And so I think anybody looks at that and understands the trickle-down impact that can have. And so it's so far seems to be seeing broad support.
Okay, that's good to hear. I'm kind of on that side of the river. Well, I want to talk about the coal piles. We only got 2 minutes because I need to get into some other stuff that's going on in this in the rest of the city. Tell me about the coal piles. I read that and I get frustrated reading it. But look, I understand that what's reported isn't always what's going on. But it doesn't look very productive to me.
2 minutes.
you can do it when we come back. Tell me. I had this on my list. I wish I would have got to this earlier. And it has on here. I don't read the headlines. You've read them enough. What's going on with those coal piles, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, really the site that was earmarked for it was the Pulliam plant site, which is owned by Brown County, right? And the Port Authority wants to expand port operations, and they've got some other users that they want to continue to talk with in addition to the coal company, Sea Rice. So it always boils down to numbers. The conversations are ongoing, but there is a clock ticking on the state grant, which is going to create some motivation for people to really get moving.
Okay. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back and pick up the coal piles just for 2 minutes, and then we'll get into some other things. All right. Yeah. You're listening to Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, in-house guest Brian Johnson, president of the city council.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local. Today, we're spending a lot of time talking about the city of Green Bay on Broadway District. We have with us a guest in house, Alderman Brian Johnson, who's also the president of the city council, as well as the director of executive director of On Broadway. And I want to get back to, we left with the coal piles, and I want to get into some other issues that are going on in the city. But before we do, it's important to shows like this that we have a sponsor, because someone's got to pay the producer and get this show going. And Nicolet Bank, Pella Windows, but Nicolet Bank, I'm going to talk about now, is one of our major sponsors. And the reason I asked Nicolet to sponsor this for a couple reasons. This is called Lean Local. It's about the local community. And I can't think of a better company that leans into this community locally. They sponsor a ton of events for us on the city deck, on Broadway, throughout Greater Green Bay. It's a company that takes good care of their employees. I mean, think about them. They started in 2002. They now have 57 branches. Many of their employees, if you go to a nonprofit or you go to a meeting, you're going to see their employees being active on those boards and those organizations. And I just am grateful that they are an example of what we want here in Green Bay. There's a lot of good companies in Green Bay.
Just but an incredible success story,
yeah,
right? You think about how quickly they've grown and what they've done, but you need corporate headquarters in a city. And they're a big one, and it's exciting to watch them continue to grow.
And they love it. They're happy here, and we're sure happy that they're here. So, again, I want to thank Nicolet for sponsoring this, and just a great community-minded bank. And so if you need anything, they're great with the business community. We've had some businesses on here that said, look, Nicolet, sure, they gave us the money, but what I really like about Nicolet is they helped us through hard times. I mean, that's when you know you got a good bank is when they like stick with you and say, look, we got to work through this stuff.
And, and we use them too. And, and they've helped us out of some, you know, take advantage of some opportunities.
Right.
Is the way that I would word it.
Yeah, they're great. So, all right. Well, I want to thank Nicolet Bank. All right. So we left off talking about the coal piles. I want to, a couple more questions on that. It's an opportunity that the end game to me was always the redevelopment of where the coal piles are right now. Period. That $200 million of development. I thought the county, given that was such an opportunity for the city to finally do something significant in that area, would have not even looked at anything else and said, yeah, that's why we did this. I know we've worked on this thing for 10, 15 years. The opportunity is here to relocate the coal piles to where the Pulliam plant was, which was, of course, shut down. The fact that they're shopping us hurts my feelings a little bit. But more so than that is I understood that they got the highest bid from C. Rice. Is that, am I hearing this right?
Well, the RFI process that they did was really handled in closed session, and they haven't disclosed any of the details about the companies that have responded. My understanding is not even the county board members know who's involved in terms of that RFI. You know, so I think, again, you've got the Port Authority who really wants to see the opportunity to grow the port, right? So relocating one port operator to a different location doesn't necessarily help that cause. You know, so you've got sort of that competing interest. Obviously, C. Rice has their interest. The county has an entirely different interest, as does the city, even the state, right? So everybody's kind of jockeying for the best outcome possible.
But the county board, and I, just for our listeners, I don't want to dwell on this, but it's in my head, has 26 members. 11 of them are from the city of Green Bay.
Correct.
They should be raising hell about this.
Yeah, and look, I've always said there's sort of that you can talk about return on investment, and I think some of the offers that have been on the table have been really good returns on investment. But the county hasn't chosen to pursue them for whatever reason. But even if you're looking at bringing in a different operator, this has to be a political decision, right? This isn't a financial one. Government's there to be a conduit and provide a service. And right now, you know, the collective agreement has always been, how do you relocate them? As I've oftentimes said, I don't care where they go, but they need to go, because the industrial use that our city grew up around is no longer relevant. And it's time for us to reimagine how we use those inner city types of lots.
So those of us on the sidelines, people who read about it, that use the term no-brainer. I'm not kidding you. They all the time, mm-hmm. like, this is the no-brainer. I will tell you, and I think I told you this when you were on here last time, when I was first elected, I went and saw previous mayors, Sam Hallowen, mm-hmm. and Romy Dennison, who was elected the year I was born, by the way. And I went and saw Romy, and I said, hey, tell me about your perspective on the city. And some things about the water to Lake Michigan, he was very instrumental in that. And we talked about some structuring government and what he thought was the most efficient. But he goes, you know, I'll tell you one thing that I worked on was the damn coal piles. About 50 years ago. Yeah. So here we are with, I just don't maybe understand the politics of this thing. I hope you can push that through. I don't know what
I mean, the reality is coal's not going to be used forever, right? But the need to operate a port doesn't go away. And C. Rice is in the port business. So whether it's coal or another commodity, you know, you want to protect the legacy of 125 plus year company here in Green Bay.
Sure.
You want them to operate. We just have to find the best path forward to do that.
All right. Is there a timeline on this that you're aware of? You must be in the meetings on this, right?
Yeah. I mean, the state has a grant that's awarded that's ARPA dollars. So clock's ticking, at least for that grant. Now, the county, in theory, could just reject the grant and say, we're going to figure this out on our own. But $12 million of the $15 million grant is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's all right. Well, I have to work on that. All right, let's move over to a bigger view, and that's the city. A lot going on in the city. I have some questions for you, but tell me, from your perspective, how do you think the city's doing in terms of the city?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of economic activity in the industrial sector, which is exciting. Right. I mean, downtown, we talk about a lot, and that's important. Housing, we talk about. But industrial uses really drive a significant chunk of your tax base. So when you see companies like Carnivore Meat Company expanding and growing in our new industrial park, Green Bay Drop Forge, we just did a deal with to get them to stay and not only stay here in Green Bay, but bring in some of their other plants. Georgia Pacific built half a billion dollar expansion on their site. So that's really important because that creates really good, high-paying jobs that keep people here in our community and uplift the quality of life here. It also creates a good, strong tax base.
Right.
And so I think that's really exciting to see. We have to continue to chip away at housing, you know, and I know, Mayor, you're involved in that, especially on supportive housing mm-hmm. initiatives. And it's so critically important to recognize that not everybody is prospering. And we have to be there as a community. It's something Green Bay has always done better than anybody, is really be there for our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping a focus on that is really critical. But also recognizing that when you look at our housing demands, there's two ends of the spectrum that have received the most attention in terms of their demand. And of course, it is low income and affordable housing, but it's also luxury housing. And that has a need as well. And we need to make sure that we're putting out enough housing product to accommodate that.
All right. You brought it up. I have that on the list. I'm going to jump to it right now. And that's affordable housing is affordable housing. But permanent supportive housing is really ending homelessness mm-hmm. at the third step. I mean, you got emergency homeless shelter where you bring them in. And I mean, you've been to the new community shelter. I mean, the people who come in there, it's tough. I mean, you grew up in a good family and but holy mackerel, some of these things that they face, and they come in and they really get their act together, and it takes hard. It's a lot of work. They work, mm-hmm. everybody says, oh, the employees work so hard over there. No, they work a lot harder than we do, but they do. If being sober is one of the things or whatever they need to do, they do that, and they do it very well, and they become, you know, productive citizens in terms of they get jobs and they work, and then they can move to the second floor, which is just your own room, 300 square foot room, but still community bathroom. Permanent supportive housing is an opportunity for people that maybe they just don't have everything it takes to live on your own. I mean, it's tough out there for some people, and this will still have some support, but it will be their own apartment, their own bathroom. And that's what we're building over there. So I think that truly will end homelessness here in Brown County. One person at a time. It's a process. It's a couple year process to get through that. But we got to start somewhere. Okay. But it seems to me, from a guy who lives down here, that the other homeless shelter is a lot looser. And if I asked you, as the president of the city council, is it legal to sleep in a Green Bay park? What would you say?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things.
But they do.
They do.
And I took pictures yesterday because I asked the chief the same thing. He goes, no, it's illegal. I'm like, okay, so you're looking the other way? No. Yeah, because I drive here. I work here at 5:30 in the morning before the Mine on the Mayor show. So I drive by and there's people sleeping there every single night, all night. So why do you allow that?
Well, one, I don't think we should be. And this is a conversation I've had with the mayor. I've had with the chief. You know, we created a task force around St. John's Park in particular. You know, I want to make sure, though, that we're clear that I don't think that's a St. John's problem to solve. They're certainly working with individuals that are in desperate need of services and help. But this is really a city problem to solve. You know, they're providing a service that they need to, but people sleeping in the park shouldn't be allowed. And we've gone through a number of things there. You know, originally it was offering programming that actually attracted people there. And we saw that made the problem worse. And when residents come in, right, and bring TVs and food and everything, that makes the problem worse, even though you think you might be helping. The better approach is to bring those gifts directly to the shelters to provide that. But it shouldn't be allowed in our, you know, people being unsupervised in those types of situations also create challenges that create safety issues and concerns for the unhoused themselves. So we have to continue to disrupt this pattern of behavior, but also recognizing that if homelessness was easy to solve, it'd be solved. Yet we live in a day and a time when there are more resources, more support mechanisms than ever before. This is a solvable problem here in Green Bay, and we need to continue to work together to get there. You don't like the answer. I get it, Jim.
No, but I think you'd be doing a lot
new
more.
New community shelter does an incredible job.
We do. Why? How come they're not doing an incredible job?
Because they're dealing with a different clientele.
No, they're not. That has everybody said that is such an excuse. Needs. They just another cop-out that they use. Do you know how many people we have at the community shelter that were at St. John's? You've been there. They say it all the time. The place there, there's fights, there's drinking. We don't allow that. So people who say, you know, that's a different clientele. No, it's not. It's the same clientele we have. It's just that we encourage people. We don't enable people. You guys took that playground equipment out of there? I mean, come on. How much more can you say we love you here? We'll get rid of this playground equipment that was in your way. They're sleeping in sleeping bags. Yeah. You walk by there. I mean, you guys, I mean, I don't know if they're intimidated by them or afraid of them, but you guys aren't doing a very good job.
And I don't think the playground equipment was removed for that reason. I mean, it was the oldest playground equipment in the city of Green Bay. It was slated for replacement. So instead of replacing it with something new during a time when you know that that park is not being disrupted the way that it should be.
That's their park. That's why you didn't
I don't see it that way. To me, it is the city's park. It is the community's park. It is the neighborhood's
park. Been to Venice Beach lately? That used to be a great beach, right?
Yeah.
You go there now, they'll kick you out. It's their beach.
Right.
You really want that?
No, I don't. And I've been very firm, but you also have to understand I'm not the one, you know, carrying the badge and doing the work every day out in the field. We do have to rely on obviously our city staff, our police department, and others that are working with those individuals.
Yeah. I think homelessness can be managed. It's just tough. It's expensive. Not that expensive, not like California, who spends billions on it, but it takes the whole community to do it. And I know that you've been helpful with the community shelter. Yeah. I want to thank you again for that.
Well, I'm a big believer that we need to force some level of consolidation around services. I think we spend a lot of money on overhead, 27, 28 different organizations that work on this. And I think a lot of folks get lost in between the cracks when they move from one type of service to the next.
All right. A couple other areas. Yeah, that needs work. Couple other areas. Monroe. We talked about Monroe, festival foods. Anything going on over there? The empty lot at Monroe.
Oh, sorry. Yep. So a developer had an option on there. They couldn't make the numbers work. So we're going to have to put that out to RFP again. As I mentioned before, a lot of housing going up. So some folks, want to wait to see how some of that shakes out, make sure those units are full before they come on at the same time. But there continues to be a high degree of interest in that site yet.
Good. I did tell people you were going to be on the show, and a question that's come up, you're not going to be surprised by this. Where are the statues?
To my knowledge, they are in storage. I desperately want to see those come back to downtown. And I know Jeff Marcus has been working very closely with the Packers. I think there's some good spots. I think the Packers Plaza at KI Convention Center is a great location, highly visible. It'd be wonderful to see him back downtown again.
Okay, what? All right. Yes, everybody believes that. Why aren't they back downtown?
I think that's a question you'll have to ask the Packers when you have them on.
They're coming on next week. So, all right, we're going to be right back. We're here with Alderman Brian Johnson, actually the president of the city council. We're going to wrap this thing up in our next segment. Thank you for listening. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
They say I'm a walking dreamer, baby. If I stopped, it would make the show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It up here, Lean Local. You've been a fun guest to have because I think we are kind of kindred spirits when it comes to the city. I mean, I'm fired up and passionate. And I've got a few more things I want to talk about. Before I do, we talked about sponsors a little bit earlier. One of my favorites, Pella Windows and Doors, is Pella.com. They have everything you need when it comes to quality windows, quality doors for your home. And I live in Astor Park, and they came over and they bring in their laptop and they just show you all these different designs and different doors you can get, different windows, and not the cheapest thing, but it saves. It's so much quieter when they put those windows in. It saves you money on your heat bill, but also keeps the air conditioning in. And they the styles, it's a plethora of things, different colors, styles that you can have in the glass or and the doors. And I just love them. And that's a great company. Again, another company that we talked about, like Nicolet Bank, that gives back to the community. But Pella just is a great company. So I just ask you, if you're thinking of doing anything with windows or doors, And you want to do it once, like we did at our house, and not do it again because they're such good quality. Pella.com is just a great company here. And the Calliwerts who own that, great people like Atwell and Mike is too. So anyway, give them a shout out. Hey, we got to get moving here. I got a couple things. I was talking to you about bridges. We're a city. I don't know that we're a city of bridges, but there's some talk about redoing the Mason Street Bridge. And I was looking at some of the designs, and I love it. Yeah, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but I mean, I think it's cool to have biking, walking. I think that's it looks very safe and nice lighting.
Yeah, and of course, it's a state bridge, so it'll be state funded. They're going to have to replace the bastrials here in the next couple of years.
Right.
And then after that is when they'll look at a complete bridge replacement. And the options that we prefer locally are bringing that grade down to grade a little bit lower. So it has to clear the railroad tracks for public safety reasons. But it'll add, right now it's like a super highway, right? People
right.
speed because it's built that way. So we want to add protected bike lanes. We want to add sidewalks, make it more of a sort of an inner city bridge.
And I think a good job was done on Webster Avenue, right? With the bike lanes,
yep,
the walking,
yep.
a little median. And I don't know that the bridge can do all of that, but I'm really glad we spent the time. And it took more time because when you go for the gold ring, it takes longer and there's a little bit more lobbying involved. But that's interesting. Talk to me real quick about Ashland. That's been talked about at some time.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the abandoned rail yard there. And, you know, railroad companies, as you know, are notorious for not always wanting to sell their land because they don't have to, right? It's not taxed. And although in this case, we were able to get them back on the tax roll. So it's good that they're contributing there. But the Ashland Avenue Viaduct is scheduled for replacement. Been involved in a number of meetings there with the state. It's really either do you replace it in kind or bring it down to grade.
Okay.
The downside is if the railroad ever reactivates their yard, right? Now you're potentially railroad tracks across an at-grade type of crossing there. But we're still engaged in conversations
Good.
Trying to acquire that lot, that rail yard. There's a lot of upside from that, but a lot of work to do to get there yet.
All right. Downtown, and then I'll go into some other issues. You're building the city is invested in quite a project downtown. The high-end apartments or condos?
Yep. Nova, New Land Enterprises. Incredible project. 268 luxury units. And it is an in-demand housing product in our community. But more importantly, when you have market rate units like that, the projects assess higher. Because it's based on your rent roll. And so it's going to add an incredible amount of tax value to the city as well here in our downtown.
That seems to be moving along.
It is. These guys don't mess around, right? They've done this before, and they know how to make sure that they get these projects in the ground and get the right equity partners in place to make things move quickly.
Yeah, and there was always a plan to develop that property with housing. I'm so glad you went with the high-end luxury. I think that belongs down here. I think we have enough of other types of housing. All right, I'm going to move on the other side of the ledger here. The Boston store.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston store was, that property was supposed to be a public square.
Yep.
You voted on it. I voted on it. The city council supported it. The planning commission supported it. And I don't know what happened, but you turned that into a low-income housing project. And I've got in front of me here, and you've seen this a million times, the authenticity plan. And it's the same plan that calls for the bridges. It calls for the enhancements to the bridges. It calls for – but this Pine Street extension, we put a little park in front of that across from the Northland Hotel. We called it the five-year park because the next year we're going to call it the four-year park and the next mm-hmm. year the three-year park. So that should have been torn down. How did that happen? I mean, and I'm still this is probably one of the best documents in City Hall. This is signed off by everyone. Committees, me. It got a lot of ink on it. The work that went into this thing, Brett Weicker, Jeff Marcus, we had, you know, a Blue Ribbon Task mm-hmm. Force, plus we had the Planning Commission. And then the next thing I hear about that it's low-income housing. How did that happen with you as the president?
Look, much like you, very few of us, I don't think any of us on council even knew that conversation was going on until it was too late. And at that point, we tried talking with the Redevelopment Authority, with obviously the property owner, with the person or the organization that was redeveloping it. And we couldn't make headway from a financial perspective to redirect it.
When somebody came in and said, I want to turn this into low-income housing, this plan is no secret. This plan's
right.
in every department. why did somebody say no, man? That's not what we're doing here. Like somebody told me they want to tear down the Northland Hotel one time. I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. That's not part of our plan. We're not doing that. I'm not clear on this. I haven't got a straight answer. Mm-hmm. I think that was, some people have said that's a 20-year mistake you guys made. Well, but how can somebody do that without telling you? I mean, I know how government works. That's neglect of duty. I mean, somebody should be, at a minimum, fired for that, but it should even be...
Well, and this never made its way to council until there was something for us to act on. And the reality is it was a private party transaction. There were no codes or zoning restrictions to prohibit it. And that's something that we're going to react to, right? Ordinances and codes are always drafted in response to something.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that now to make sure that when these types of conversations occur, they're brought to council sooner.
1 minute. I got to ask you, your vision, you're going to stick around, right?
Yeah.
At city council. What do you want to see?
Look, we've got infrastructure needs to be improved, but you need development to do that. You need to generate tax base. We need places for people to live. You need places for people to work. And all those things will help create the tax base. We need a public safety building. We need a fire station. City has a lot of needs, and we're going to keep working on it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're the president of the council. I'm glad you're my alderman. And keep up the good work. I got to have you back here. I got more questions.
Anytime. All right.
Thanks for coming in. Alderman Brian Johnson, president of the city council. You've been listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.